The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:25pm with myself, Mark Walton, and Craig Forsyth in the studio. It's Foslas and Market Racing domestically. There's also a decent card over in Ireland from Navan as well, so plenty to get stuck into. Right now though, I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Luke Elder, who's going to help us look ahead to Sunday's action. How are you, Luke?
Yeah, not too bad yourself.
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. We're recording this on Saturday morning, so it's kind of hard to really talk about what will be the big news stories on Sunday. It's probably the last real chance to get the last Cheltenham clues in the book. So what we'll do is we'll just take kind of a, well, 4 weeks before the Cheltenham Festival update, if you like, or something like that. Probably need to work on the name.
we'll get that sorted out for next time.
Yeah. anything of recently caught your eye for the festival?
Yeah, yesterday and Friday there was one that stuck out at Fakenham. It's also been following for a while, called Clean Sheet. And this is more of a time where I turn heads towards handicaps. I think many people do for Cheltenham as well. We've sort of looked at the Grade 1 races and we've got our fancies for that. But there's a horse called Clean Sheet, Nicky Henderson, ridden by AP yesterday. It's a JP horse as well. So he won very nicely at Fakenham. It was a poor race, really, as the one he was entitled to win. He went off at the 8-11 favourite in the end. But if you go back 2 runs ago on his debut, he was second to Karachi Apache by a length and a quarter. Now, Karachi Apache has gone on to frank that form, winning an Albert Bartlett trial at Doncaster when beating Black Lion. So that form seems to be stacking up. He also won well at Newbury when he didn't really travel through the race that well. That was over 2 miles, so it's understandable. He stepped up to 2.5 yesterday, and he seemed to improve for it. He's in the Martin Pipe at the festival. That would be probably the main aim. Who would ride it, I'm not sure, because obviously it's a conditional jockey's race, where maybe Peter Carberry would get the leg up, or someone else. It's foolish to speculate that at the moment, but he won off 1.35 yesterday. It'll be interesting to see how the handicapper reassesses him, but he wouldn't have too much weight to carry in that race, and he should get in quite well. It's usually very competitive. Obviously, won by Don Poley last year, who's going on to be a strong RSA candidate. Whether he could scale them heights, I'm not sure about that. But he's got a good handicap mark, and it's more than workable at the moment.
Yeah. While you mentioned the RSA as well, that kind of took an interesting turn in the past week or so. Coney Gree hacking up against the older horses. So if he stays in the RSA...
He couldn't have been more impressive, could he?
No.
I mean, personally for me, I'm not one that really condones novices going for the Gold Cup. I was strongly against Grand Cru when that was around, but Coney Gree's got something about him where he's a more mature horse than Grand Cru was at that stage, and he was so impressive last week. Maybe not beating the top class horses that he would meet in the Gold Cup with the likes of Sylvain Jacques-Conti, of course, but there's something about him that would suggest that he would fare quite well in the Gold Cup. But obviously the RSA, potentially the easier option, probably will be the easier option as well. Either way, he's sure to be prominent.
Is 14-1, sorry, for the Gold Cup at the moment. We've seen two potential Gold Cup runners last week as well, in Holywell and Carlingford Lock. Be an interesting decision for AP to make. Would he get the decision?
Yeah, I was going to say, will he be allowed to
choose? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was particularly impressed with Carlingford Lock, to be honest.
Yeah, well, he won the better race, didn't he? Holywell just had to stand up, basically, but you couldn't fail to be impressed by Holywell. Maybe he could scratch up his jumping a bit, but Carlingford Lock won a decent enough race. Fox Rock in second, I'm not sure how to assess him. I've never really been a huge fan of Fox Rock, but he took a big step up in that front. Lord Windermere is one that I fancied for the Gold Cup for quite a while. I think that was a big step back up in form for him. He's going to be one that will be primed for the day at Cheltenham, as he was last year. And let's not forget, he's a dual festival winner in the RSA and the Gold Cup for the last two seasons. So he go with his chance. I'm not sure what price Lord Windermere is about now.
14s at the moment.
That's fair enough each way value, I think. But Carlingford Lock's done nothing wrong this season. He didn't do a lot wrong as a novice, in fairness to him. So he'd go with his chance. And Holywell, he left his form from the early season behind him with the blinkers back on. If he can step forward again at Cheltenham, then it wouldn't surprise you to see him fighting it out.
What do you make of the top end of the market there? So Jacques-Conti, obviously much shorter than the rest now. He's blotted his copybook in the recent years in the Gold Cup. Is he one of those horses that just will never win a Gold Cup, do you think? Or is he better this year?
I think it's undoubtedly better this year, whether it's the cheek pieces, whether it's newer tactics. He made all in the King George and was very impressive when doing so. Whether he'd get away with doing that in the Gold Cup, I wouldn't be 100% sure about that. But you have to be worried about last year. That still sticks in the back of your mind. I'm not sure what went wrong. He did the same thing at Aintree when he hung right twice instead of once, but he completely threw it away up the hill last year. Bobsworth did the same thing and they looked set to fight it out. But I don't know, 3-1 about a horse that hasn't really performed to his best around Cheltenham. I mean, he's ran well there before, but I don't know, it's a short price to take in a very, very good race about Sylvain Jarque-Conti.
Mm. Any other big races at the festival, or any other races at all at the festival that you want to throw your opinion out on?
It's not really an opinion, it's more of, well, a lot of people have this opinion, but Fahin, there's a bit of news came out about him this week that he won't take a prep before the Champion Idol. A few people were slating that. I'm not really sure. Willie Mullins isn't really a guy that you want to be doubting on that. He got Quavega there year after year after not having a run, and look what she did at the festival. Yeah. So I really don't think Fahin needs a run going into. I think he had a break before Cheltenham last year as well, and he won the Neptune, possibly one of his most impressive performances to date. So look, if you're taking the short price, personally, that price wouldn't be for me. I think he'll win the Champion Hurdle, but if you're taking that short price, I wouldn't put that down as a negative against him.
No, I didn't expect him to even run again before the festival anyway.
No,
and then it was kind of a surprise when he announced that he might,
yeah,
and then didn't, so I don't see what the fuss is about.
It was rumoured that he was going to run this weekend.
Yeah.
The Kingwell was a potential opportunity, and the other one was the Red Mills over in Ireland, but obviously he's not gone to either, which I don't really see as much of a negative, but it's what you want to make of it, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I thought he might have only gone to the Red Mills because it's Willie Mullins' local track, and he might have just sent him there for a spin out.
Well, if he does win the Champion Hurdle, it'll be nice for the Irish racing fans to actually see their champion hurdler in flesh once this year. He ran at Ascot, Kempton, Cheltenham. If he runs at Punchestown afterwards, that'll be grand. But
yeah,
they could have a champion hurdle horse that they haven't seen on their turf this season.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, should we leave that there anyway? Should we get a look ahead to Sunday's action? Luke's got three races for us, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Sunday. We'll be hearing from Andy Holding as usual on Sunday morning. He's going to look at the Irish racing for us. So Luke's going to concentrate on the domestic action. He's picked out two races for us at Market Raisin and one of them at Fosslass. So we'll go through them in chronological order. The 2:05 at Market Raisin is the first race. This is a mare's handicap hurdle over 2 miles and one furlong. We have seven of them in the lineup, which kind of ruins it a little bit from an each-way perspective. But what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, not an each way one to go with here. It's intent for Chris Bilby's. Lightly raced, the 6-year-old only ran nine times. Most of them were on the flat. She's only been hurdling four times. But it's a bit of a worry that she's only ran four times since 2012. Possible that there's been injuries along the way. But she's been thrown at the deep end on two of them four starts. Once was behind Lunique and Cockney Sparrow on hurdling debut, which is a big, big ask, and she was suitably pulled up in that. She then went on to Catterick, was a short head behind the horse called Dante's Frolic, which is fair enough form. Then behind Fennel Bay, who was a very good horse on the flat for Mark Johnston. I haven't really seen much of him over hurdles since, but didn't really cut much ice in that. But then went on to Worcester after having a break, so we know that she can go well fresh and won quite nicely on, albeit faster ground, but she's proved in the past that softer ground isn't really too detrimental to her. She was also third off a mark of 78 twice on the flat over a mile two, once at Windsor, once at Newbury, once behind Duke of Clarence and once behind Princess Katani, who are very good horses in their own right. I think Duke of Clarence is set for a big year this season, so she should be staying this trip well enough off on handicap debut off a mark of 105. I think that's still very low. It's a matter of if she's ready off 159 days off.
But like you say, she has gone fresh in the past, so that
probably won't
be a concern. Yeah. Main dangers in there, I suppose. Grimley Girl is quite interesting, being in decent enough form without maybe struggling to get ahead in front a little bit.
It's more that you've got to pick the ones that are coming here in form. Grimley Girl is one of those. It's possibly one that's hard to win within the last five starts. Has been third, second, first, and then second again twice. That's obviously going to be a danger. Scirocco Passion is one that you'd expect to see improve in the first-time cheek pieces. She's only a four-year-old, so she gets a little allowance. Retrieve the Stick is blinkered first time as well. If she can leave her last run behind and return to her old form, then again, she'd be another one with a chance with a £10 claimer up. But it does look like Intent's the one to beat here.
Okay, Intent the one to beat in that race then. The second race we're going to look at is the 240 at Market Raisin. This is a Red Mills handicap hurdle over 2 miles and three furlongs, nine of them in the lineup in this one. A little bit more competitive. Which ones do you like there?
It's a matter of taking ones that come here really in form. And Emerald Silk for Sue Smith and Dougie Costello comes in arguably the best form. I think it's the only one in the field to have won last time out. And it won quite a nice race last time, beating two in form horses on Vuvuzela and Snowed In, who, again, on their day are decent enough horses. He's gone up £9 for that effort, which is fair enough. He was well back that day as well. It went off 3-1. There's much bigger prices in the morning. It's not against that yard to land the gamble either. But if you go back to the form before that race, he was third to a horse called Sleepy Haven, who since won a very competitive handicap hurdle at Kempton in Nice Star and was 13th last week in the Betfair Hurdle, which is a much, much hotter contest than he's been contesting recently, and a much more much better contest than Emerald Silk will face today. You can possibly take that form a little bit lightly, but it shows that Emerald Silk's in decent enough form. And let's not forget, at the start of the season, Sue Smith's yard were horribly out of form. They couldn't train, they couldn't get a winner left, right or centre, and then they're coming back, and they have had a few winners as of late, Emerald Silk being one of them. So it could just be a yard to keep an eye on, but a £9 higher mark, he should still be competitive. Emerald Silk, he's only seven, so his potential that he's still improving, a mark of 120 shouldn't be enough to deny him.
Okay, so you like Emerald Silk there. Just want to get your thoughts on Cashmere Peak as well. Previous course winner, disappointed really in mid-division last time over in Leopardstown. But the run before that at Doncaster, good effort when winning there in a better race than this, well, higher grade than this. If you take into account the claim of the jockeys, probably still decently enough weighted in this.
Yeah, you'd have to say so. It was a very, very good race that he ran in last time behind KTT in Ireland, a 24-runner handicap hurdle. Usually that race has strong links towards the Cheltenham Festival as well, but look, 11th is about right where he should be finishing in that kind of race, and he wouldn't really need much more to be winning this tomorrow. So he's one that I expect to go close with the £7 claimer. Dean Pratt is a very good value for his £7. A mark of 131 is probably getting to... Well, the handicap is beginning to get him, I'd say, but he's £4 higher officially, not including the rider's claim, than when he won at Doncaster 2 runs ago. But he'll be competitive. It is a decent enough race. You can't deny that. But Emerald Silk just about shades it for me. But it's a race that I'm actually looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, should be a good race. So Emerald Silk then for Luke in the 240, and we finish in the 330 at Foss Last. This is a mare's handicap hurdle over 2¾ miles. Six of them go to the starting line in this one, and it's another mare's race. Day for the ladies on
well,
Sunday.
It's Valentine's Day. I'm going to go for that. It's a happy coincidence, I think. we'll go for that anyway. Yeah. Millicent Silver's one I'm going for here. Nigel Twiston Davis teaming up with his son, Sam. She was a very useful bumper horse. I think she won one race, was behind Lady Buttons, who again is another very useful sort of Weatherby, but then went on to be 13th in the mare's bumper at Aintree, beaten 17 lengths, which in this kind of race equates to fairly good form. She's struggled slightly over hurdles so far. Was second at Plumpton on her hurdling debut. Then at Lingfield, she beat a horse that I've got a small share in, which was to my dismay. But she won quite nicely that day and has since stepped up in trip. She didn't really perform over 3 miles, albeit behind Closing Ceremony. You'd be surprised if she was beating Closing Ceremony. And last time out at Leicester, she ran well enough. But this looks to be a much easier race. The ground's not going to be any issue for her. 2.6 looks to be near enough perfect. And Sam Twiston Davis has a decent record. I think he's only two from three. Once in a bumper, once in that hurdle start, and then once at Aintree when she was probably biting off a bit more than she could chew. But she's a very useful horse. The ground looks okay. It's worth taking a chance on her. Doesn't look like she'll be favourite. She's got a fairly strong rival in Peter Bowen's Princess Tara, who comes here in good form after winning last time out over course and distance as well. That was in a maiden hurdle. Steps into handicap company today off a mark of 115. It's going to be close between the two. You'd imagine they'd be the two fighting it out at the end of the day, but shade Millicent Silver over Princess Tara.
Okay, Millicent Silver then. In the 3:30, as always, let's just have a nice little summary for your spinners, for your thoughts for Sunday one more time.
Yeah, the Toro 5 at Market Raisin I'm siding with Intent. The 2:40 at Market Raisin, Emerald Silk for Sue Smith and Dougie Costello. And we're going to end the day in the 3:30 at Fosslass with Millicent Silver for Nigel Twiston Davis and Sam.
Okay, good work. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it tomorrow.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
So there you go, the thoughts of Luke Elder on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 1:25 PM. I'll be in the studio with Craig Forsyth. We have these two meetings, Fosslass and Market Raisin domestically. We've also got a good card over in Ireland from Navan. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Sunday's racing.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.